Parshas Ha'azinu, guys, we're on Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Memchas. This is very much toward the end of the Parsha, Pasuk Memchas. So, Vedabar Hashem Moshe Be'etzem Yom Hazeh Lemor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe in the middle of that day, saying the following. Now, Be'etzem Yom Hazeh is strange. The way that it just translates in the middle of the day sounds the way that Rashi says, and we'll get to Rashi in a second. Rav Hirsch calls this the strength of the day. The word etzem means atzmus, as something that's strong, which means full daylight. Now, why, says Rav Hirsch, does the pasuk feel the need to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him right in the middle of the day? He says Moshe's death was exactly how he lived his whole life. And I want you to think about this, because this is an amazing idea. The way that he lived his life was not passively submitting to what, using Rav Hirsch's words, passively submitting to whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, doing whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. He did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do at all times. It meant this is a person who is in full health. He did not need to die. This was not a person who felt like, all right, it's time, I might as well go anyway. The only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu allowed himself to die, and I say that honestly because Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of human beings, and if there was anyone who could have stopped his own death, it's a person like Moshe Rabbeinu. He did it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to, like any other mitzvah in the Torah, any other mitzvah that a person could do. This, however, this mitzvah that Hashem said you have to go up to Har Nevo and die, this mitzvah was more difficult for him than anything else, because it meant he could no longer do what he knew he was born to do. He was born to help Klal Yisrael. He was born to be able to make sure that everything was going to go right for them and to help them in every single thing that they were going to do, to make the people gain and grow in higher heights and whatever it is. But he accepted, because this is a greater calling. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him it's time for him to die, and it was the greatest self-sacrifice that a person can make. And that's why it says Be'etzem Yom Hazeh. Be'atzmus Shel Yom, in the strength of the day, it shows the pure strength of a man like Moshe Rabbeinu, of how great he was and what he was able to do. Klerker says this is not referring to the middle of the day. It has nothing to do with the day. It has to do with the middle of his life. It was as if he was 30, 40, 45, 50 years old. He didn't look like he was 120. He didn't feel like he was 120. He felt like a person in the middle of his heyday, right in the middle of everything. Normally, a person at the age of 120, I mean, just imagine, a person at the age of 100, at the age of 90, 95, usually that person looks like they're about to go, that they're not ready, that they are ready to be able to go. Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect. Perfect, was able to move all of his faculties in the right way. It's as if, not like the sun is setting and about to go down, but the sun is in the middle of the sky. So Be'etzem Yom Hazeh was not referring to the actual time of day. The time of day that Moshe died could have been later in the afternoon, could have been early in the morning. More likely later in the afternoon, because that's why we say Tzidkas on Shabbos at Mincha. But really refers to how strong he was. It was like he was in the middle of his day, in the middle of his life. That's what it means, that his eyes were not dim, his nos lecho, he didn't have anything that was off about him. He was perfectly fine in that way, as if he was many, many years younger. Okay, Targum Yonatan says this was on the 7th of Adar, that this took place on the 7th of Adar, Parshas Ha'azinu. And Ibn Ezra says it was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu sang the entire Shira of Ha'azinu. Now, Tzur Amor says this was not the only thing that happened on that day. He wrote a Sefer Torah on that day, and according to the Medrash, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on that day. If you want to ask me how he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on that day, it's impossible to even think that a person could write a Sefer Torah on a day, let alone 13 of them. But he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah on that day. Otzer HaMidrashim, page 378, brings that down. Das Kenyan says it a little bit differently, but he gave it over to all of the Shvatim. On that day, he sang Shiras Azinu, says the Torah Mor, as we just said for the Ibn Ezra. He told it over to all of Klal Yisrael and explained it to them. After that, he blessed Bnei Yisrael. That's Vizos HaBracha. Then he climbed the mountain. Remember, this is not just Stam. People ask me all the time, I was just reading in a Zman that came out this week about why they haven't, you know, the Teva being on Har Ararat. We think of these things as like Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he had to die, so he climbed up the mountain, that's that. He climbed a mountain. Do we get that? He climbed a mountain on the last day of his life, and he died on top of the mountain. He's not just sitting there. It's not like Mount Trashmore over there, that, you know, the, like, the little thing where you can go sledding down, and like little kids love it, and like older adults are like, yeah, I remember better. This is like a ski lodge mountain that he climbed up in order to die, and he did this all on the same day that he wrote the Sefer Torah, told them over Azinu, gave them their brachos. This is an amazing event that he had over there. It says the Torah more. It says this is one of the biggest miracles that Klal Yisrael ever witnessed. The amount of things that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do on that day. He was able to do everything on Zion Adar, but he did. He did. Nitzavim Vayelech Hazinu V'zosa Bracha, and climbing a mountain, and doing everything else, writing the Sefer Torah. It's absolutely unbelievable. Pardes Yosef says, but you know what happened on Zion Adar? Because Be'etzema Yom HaZeh is a same gematria as Zeh Yom Zion Adar. Zeh Yom Zion Adar is 280. Be'etzema Yom HaZeh is also 280. Says the Pardes Yosef, that's how you know that it actually happened on that day. Or Achaim HaKadosh says, the end of the pasuk is a little strange. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh lemor. What's the lemor? Lemor is usually to tell over to Bnei Yisrael. Again, vayidaber Hashem al Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh lemor, for him to go up the mountain. What's he telling Klal Yisrael? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he had to tell Bnei Yisrael where he was going. He couldn't just disappear. Because you know what people would say if he just disappeared? They think he was Elvis. They think he's still alive, staying somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I'd use other examples, but people might get angry at me. But they'd say, maybe he's still alive, maybe he's around somewhere, he's not really in the ground, he's not really buried. That's what they think to themselves. In order to make sure that everyone knew, no, he actually died. He said to the people, I am about to die, I'm going up that mountain, I'm going to be right there, and you're going to see me. Although they couldn't find his grave, because remember, the grave was impossible to find, and that led credence to the fact that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was still alive. Omeinu Meshamish B'marom, like the Gemara in Sotah Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says. But Moshe Rabbeinu told them himself, and he was a Navi who could not lie. Remember, a Navi cannot lie. He said, I am not coming back. I am going to die in the mountain. And that Nevuah came true. That Nevuah was 100%. There was no question about it whatsoever. That's how the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says it. Rashi says, and this is a famous Rashi. You should know, I'm giving a time out over here. When I was much younger, I think I was a second year boy in Eretz Yisrael. Now, anybody who's been to Eretz Yisrael and has been to one of those American yeshivas that I went to knows that after 1 year, you think you're the greatest tzaddik on earth. Okay? I thought it after 1 day. But after 1 year, you think you're the greatest tzaddik on earth, and you know every halacha that could possibly be, because you learned about 20 blot in one mesechta, so you think you're the greatest person of all time. After you go for 2 years, and you learn 35 to 40 blot in one mesechta, be'ian, and you learn like two mesechtas be'kiyas, you think beyond greatest. You might as well be God. You wonder why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give Matan Torah through you. You always wonder that, because what's the difference between me and Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the line. In the middle of my second year, I think it was, I was staying by somebody's house, and a guy got up there, and they said, when did Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim? The discussion was when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And a person came in and said, I asked the question, if they left in the middle of the day, they left right in the middle of the day, why did they not have time to bake matzahs? They had all morning. They left in the middle of the day. How do they not have time to bake matzahs? They should have had tons of time. There would have been tons of time to bake matzahs. Right? So I said, they didn't leave in the middle of the day. They left in the morning. Early in the morning. As soon as morning hit, they all got up and they left. They didn't have time to bake matzahs. This guy was there and he was like, do you know Rashi? And I was like, yeah. He was like, do you ever learn Rashi? I was like, yeah. I did Shnai Mikra once. It was not even true, by the way. I didn't do Shnai Mikra once. So he said to me, Rashi and Azinu. So I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I think they left in the morning. Now, I will get back to this to prove that I still was right, even though I was a fool, right? I will somehow get back to this. But there is a Rashi and Hazinu. Three times the word Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh is used, says Rashi. Three times. Keep that in mind. Three. Okay, does everybody count? You see it? One, two, three. Three times the words Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh are used. First is by Noach. The people of his generation, when they saw that he was about to get in onto his teva, that he had built the teva, they said, if we think at any point that Noach might be correct that a flood is coming, if we think at any point that he's 100% right, that something's going to happen, we'll never allow him to go on the teva. We're going to stop him by force to get him from going on the teva itself. The wording of Rashi is very strange. Bekach bekach, we swear to God, that's the bekach bekach, it's almost a lashon of a shvua, im anu margishin bo. If we realize, if we think he's going to do it, we think he's going up on the teva, inu manichonus and likonus v'teva, we're not going to allow him to get onto the teva itself. Not only that, they said, we're going to take hammers and axes, we're going to break the teva down into tiny little pieces, we're going to make sure he doesn't get on. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is Noach going to get on the teva, he's going to get on the teva in the middle of the day. Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, right in the middle of the day. Anybody wants to try and stop him, try and stop him. See what you can do, you're not going to be able to stop him. That's by Noach. Second is by Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim said, if we feel they're about to leave, if we see the Jews are getting ready to leave, we're going to get up there and we're not going to let them leave. By force, we're going to force them to stay inside Mitzrayim. But not only that, we're going to take out knives and swords and we're going to kill them if they try to leave. That's what the Mitzrayim said. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to make them leave on the 15th of Nisan. And not only that, but they're going to leave. Be'etzem Hayom HaZeh, seemingly in the middle of the day, right in the middle of the day, you're going to see them and that's going to be. Now, as a side note, there is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Pesachim, Perek Yud Halacha Hey, says that they left in the middle of the day. It says Bechatzi Ayom, that's the wording in Rashi as well. Bechatzi Ayom is halfway through the day itself. I will tell you that I always understood it differently because I have a Gemara in Brachos Tesimon Aleph. The Gemara Brachos Tesimon Aleph says, Moed Tseischa Mimitzrayim is when you have to burn the Nosar from the Korban Pesach of the night before. In other words, if there's leftovers from the Korban Pesach, from Korbanos, you'd have to burn it. By that time, Moed Tseischa Mitzrayim, that's when you have to get rid of it. That's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Tes. And seemingly it means that as soon as it hits morning, you don't burn anything by midday. You burn it as soon as you can in the morning. You get rid of it as soon as the day hits. So I always understood that that morning is Moed Tseischa Mimitzrayim, the time that they left Mitzrayim. But there's Yerushalmi that says Chatzi Ayom. Now to me, it's not really Akasha. Chatzi Ayom, when does the day start? When does the day start? From the night before, right? So halfway through the day is what time? Early morning. I would have said early morning would be Chatzi Ayom. That's halfway through the day. It's not Chatzos Ayom. It's Chatzi Ayom. So that would have been in the morning. So I think that maybe that might be a right to me. What were you going to say, Bruce?
Why didn't it say Chatzi?
Bechatzi Ayom? Why not say Bechatzos Ayom, I would say. Right? Chatzi Ayom means halfway through the day, which I would say is in the morning itself. But it is a weird wording, and I don't think that's a full answer. I will tell you, to me, it's not a stira. I have a bunch of different rides to this, the Miyam Lois, and there's a Chassam Sofer. They started leaving early in the morning. But you ever try to get 3 million, you ever try to get two people out of your house? You know how hard it takes to get people to leave? Right? It's good. 3 million people, you're trying to get them to leave. They started early in the morning, as soon as they could. By the time they reached the exit of Mitzrayim, it was midday. Let's try to just, simply put, we live on the north side of Chicago, right? Let's say you want to go to Detroit, whatever, and Cleveland, right? Or Indianapolis, and you want to go through, so you're going south through the city. If you leave at the wrong time of day, it could take you 2-3 hours to go 23 miles. Right? That's what it could be. So I'm not saying there was traffic and buildup in Mitzrayim when they were trying to leave. I'm trying to say when it's 3 million people, it very well could be by the end of the day, well, sorry, bad phrasing, by the middle of the day, that's when they were able to leave Mitzrayim, even though they started right there from the morning itself, which answers this woman's question that why didn't they bake matzahs in the morning? They did leave. They were supposed to be leaving. It just took them a while to eventually actually get out of Mitzrayim itself. That's the idea behind it. Regardless, that's what it says over there. A second example of Atzim Yosef. Ayelas HaShachar. Ayelas HaShachar is a question. It's such an obvious question. Were the Mitzrayim really saying that? Were the Egyptians saying, if we see they're ready to leave, we're going to kill them with knives and swords? Didn't the night before had Makas Bechoros, didn't the Egyptians kick them out and say we don't want them whatsoever? I don't understand. When are these Egyptians saying? If you said it happened before Makas Bechoros, and they said, if we see them leaving, we're going to stop them, then what's the point? They didn't. So why is this a Be'etzim HaYom? Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu take us out in the middle of the day to show them that, no, you can't do anything? They weren't going to do anything anyway. They were kicking the Jews out. They were taking their stuff and throwing it in the street. They were lending them money in order for them to get out. Why in the world is that a deal? I'm missing something here. And Rav Steinman says it really doesn't make any sense how this situation happened where all of a sudden a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to take them out in the middle because the Egyptians were going to stop them. I don't think it ever happened. But anyway, that's two. Third time. Remember I said there were going to be three times? Third time is right here. B'nai Yisrael said, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu tries to take Moshe Rabbeinu away from us, we won't allow him to do so. This is the man who took us out of Egypt. This is the man who split the sea for us. He brought down the money, gave us the slav, he gave us the Anan HaYakavod, the well of Miriam, and he gave us the Torah. He said, we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let Moshe Rabbeinu be taken away from us. So listen to this. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to take Moshe Rabbeinu away from you, and I'm going to take him away in the middle of the day. Be'etzem Hayom HaZeh. Be'etzem Hayom HaZeh. I'm going to try. You try to stop me, I'm going to do so, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So by Noach, by Mitzrayim, and now by Moshe Rabbeinu, all three times it says, Be'etzem Hayom HaZeh, because they tried to stop it, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I won't allow it to happen. So the Shach asked the question that everybody is probably asking. How in the world were they planning on stopping Hashem from taking Moshe Rabbeinu? Does that make any sense to anybody? Does that make any sense to you? How are they going to stop him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bnei Yisrael is like, well, we're not going to let you do so. It's God. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take you away, what in the world are you going to do? I understand by Mitzrayim, you stop by force. You'll stop the people by force. I understand by the Teva, we'll stop them by force. We'll stop Noah by force. What were Bnei Yisrael going to do about Moshe Rabbeinu? How is this even a Shiloh over here? So the Shach. I'm sorry?
Basically have a defensive line all around the mountain.
But again, HaKadosh, oh, around the mountain. Right. Awesome. Hold on. So the Shach says, all of Bnei Yisrael knew that Moshe Rabbeinu's death was not going to be like anybody else's death. He had purified his body for 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai. We know that three times. This is a person who is surviving off mun for the last 40 years. A guy who never ate, never drank, never had any physical needs for the last 40 years. This death is not going to be a normal death. It was going to be something called siluk, not misa, but siluk. What we call in the Gemara, nishika. A misas nishika, where the person dies by the kiss of death of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not a regular malach amavis. Not a regular person where you see the person on a deathbed, right, where the soul leaves the body. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. His body was like his soul. His body was as close to a soul as you normally could get. What they thought they could do, says the Shach. And remember, the Shach is one of the Guri Arizal, one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. He's one of those who say, regarding the times when we're talking 1600s, early 1600s, late 1500s, he says all they would do, surround him, make sure he doesn't go out of their sights, and the siluk won't happen. They'll be able to stay by him, keep him awake the whole time, make sure that the neshama stays with his body by asking him shailas, by getting him to learn with them. And they would say to him, Moshe, tell us this, Moshe, tell us that. And Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama won't want to leave. If Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama doesn't leave, then nothing can happen. So they said, we're going to have a whole group of people. We'll go in and everybody will ask shailas, one after the other. He doesn't need to sleep anyway. He's not eating anyway. He's not drinking anyway. Just keep him around him. We'll never allow that siluk to happen. That's how the Shach understands it. But the Griz says a different idea, but very similar. And this is what you were saying, Michael, the exact same idea. The day of death of Moshe Rabbeinu was decreed upon high to be on Zion Adar. That everybody agreed with, it was going to be on Zion Adar. But the place where he died was also decreed upon high, where he had to die. He had to die by climbing up the mountain, right? He had to go up the mountain and go inside the cave. Says the Griz, is the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav says, all you have to do is stop him from going up Har Avarim, up to Har Nevo, stop him from going there, and then he can't die. So Bnei Yisrael said, how are you going to stop him from dying? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants somebody to die, he'll die. You know what the Griz says? The Briska Rav says, they'll surround the mountain and make sure he doesn't go up. And if Moshe Rabbeinu tries to get by, they'll say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't come here. They'll build a huge wall to make sure that nobody can get past that area, not to get political. They'll go around and they'll make sure nothing like that is going to happen. Miam Loez says the exact same thing as the Griz. The Miam Loez was a bit before the Griz. So I'm not sure why the Griz doesn't quote the Miam Loez. Maybe he didn't know that the Miam Loez wrote such a thing, right? But the Miam Loez does have the exact same thing. But again, I don't know if it's in the Hebrew version. I don't know if it's in the Latin version, that the original version of the Miam Loez. But it could have been added on with the Griz over here. But the Miam Loez says the exact same thing. B'shem Atzmo. He doesn't quote anybody when he says it. This idea is brought in Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel Med Aleph. Everybody knows this Gemara. Maybe you've heard it in some way, shape, or form. Ragluy debar inish arvin bay. The legs of a person are his own guarantors. La'aser demit boy taman, to the place that he's supposed to go, movil in yase. Your legs will bring you there. The Gemara brings an example, brought this, it brings it down, regarding two sofrim of Shlomo Melech. They were Kushim, says the Gemara. Two sofrim of Shlomo Melech, their names were Elicharaf and Achia, sons of Shisha, brothers who were sons of Shisha. One day Shlomo saw that the Malach HaMavis was by his palace. Shlomo Melech had visions of all the different Malachim, of everything that was around him. Saw the Malach HaMavis by his palace and saw that he was atzivis, he was sad. And he said to him, why are you so sad? He said, because I have to take your two scribes, your two great scribes, Elicharaf and Achia. I'm supposed to take their souls. I'm supposed to take them away. And I'm very upset about that. I'm very upset. Shlomo Melech misunderstood what the Malach HaMavis was telling him. Thought that he was taking away their souls right there in the palace, immediately called on one of his demons, called the demon over, told him, come quick, grabbed Elicharaf and Achia, grabbed them both, and sent them all the way to the city of Luz. City of Luz, as we know, is that city where no one dies. So he wanted to send them over to the city of Luz to get them there. At the gates of Luz, as the demon quickly was bringing them over to the gates of Luz, that's where they died. Both of them died. So Shlomo Melech knew nothing. The Malachim Avi sees the Malachim Avi the next day, and he saw he was badichas. He was happy. So we'll turn to the Malachim Avi and said, why are you so happy? He said, because I had to kill them both at the entrance of the city of Luz. I had no idea how they were going to get there. Normally, at the time of day that they had to get from one place to the other, they wouldn't have gotten there normally. But because you sent them there through Shaden, right, through demons, and they quickly ran them there, therefore they were able to get to that place right at that time, and everything worked out well. Everything was perfectly fine. So Shkoyach. That was that. And Shlomo Melech said about himself, Ragloi debar inish arvenbe. The legs of a person will bring you to where you need to go, whether you mean to or not. That means, and what this Gemara is telling us, what we're taking out of this, is there's a certain place where everyone is supposed to die. And if you don't go to that place, then you're not going to die. Seemingly, but somehow you'll always get there. And this idea is over here as well. Says the Griz, right? There's a place where he was supposed to die. If you stop him from going there, maybe that's what's going to work over here. Maybe that's the idea behind trying to stay away from Moshe Rabbeinu's death. That's the concept. Ayelus HaShachar asks on this. This is again Rav Steinman, based on a Medrash. It says Moshe Rabbeinu stopped the Malachim Avos. The Malachim Avos wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu stopped him, brought him to Klal Yisrael, made him answer amen to all the brachos that he gave to Klal Yisrael. He gave them a bracha, Reuven, and then Shimon and Levi. He gave them all brachos, technically, right? Gave them all brachos. And after he did it, and the Malachim Avos answered amen, then he allowed himself to be killed by the Malachim Avos. Says Rav Steinman, I don't understand. If he could only die on top of the mountain, what was the Malachim Avos doing down there before he had given the brachos? The Malachim Avos should have met him on top of the mountain, not down there. But there must be a place. I'm sorry? Yeah, even so, that's another kasha. Altogether, the Medrash is questionable because he's not supposed to die through Malachim Avos. I wrote that in the sheets itself. So the sheets are right there. Oh, and by the way, as Noach reminded me before, if you want sheets, you can email me at rabbizim@gmail.com. Two M's. rabbizimm@gmail.com. Okay? I'm sorry? There's no Zvi in it. It's just Rabbi Zim. ZIMM@gmail.com. And it is ZVI because I spell it normally. So that's that. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked in Derech Sicha the same thing. If anybody's seen the Sfarim of Derech Sicha, I hate to say it this way. It seemed like Rav Chaim, I don't know. Like they took all the little notes that, you know, they would ask like these questions to him and he would answer them and they made a sefer out of it. I love the Sfarim, both the two that I have. I just find I don't know what Rav Chaim's thinking when a sefer like that comes out. Like the tiny little stuff that he wrote, I don't know. I don't think he ever meant for that to be a sefer. I can't imagine it. It is in the Hakdama, and I know. It's just so strange to me. But in Derech Sicha, they asked him this question. And he said they could have stopped it from happening by davening. So we had two answers so far. We have the Shach that says we'll just keep asking him questions. We had the Griz and the Amalways that said we'll keep him from going up the mountain. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky said simply, they can daven. Here's Pshat. We don't even have that enter our minds because we don't think our tefillos are powerful enough. We don't think that way. We don't think we're powerful enough in our davening to be able to ask for such a thing. But we are. And Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, you have the power to daven. And they knew that. So they could have davened for Moshe Rabbeinu not to die. So what happened? So the Chidush HaRim, the Gerar Rebbe, said that way before Rav Chaim did. The Chidush HaRim says, B'nai Yisrael would have gotten together, concentrated on their tefillah so hard it would have been mevatel, the gezerah of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. That's what they would have done. They said, we'll be willing to do such a thing. But what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to happen. Why didn't they daven? Hashem showed them, this gezerah was so harsh, he had to die, even if they would daven. It sounds like from the Chidush HaRim, sometimes, although your tefillos should work, sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu says no matter what. Similar to Avram Avinu in Sodom and Amorah, when he davened for Sodom and Amorah. Davened all those times, if there are 50, if there are 45, if there are 40, etc. Right? It sounds like sometimes tefillos are not accepted for a reason. Obviously for a reason. And this was one of those times where it would not have been accepted. Mati, yeah? So give me a second with that. That's an awesome question. Normally you should not have to wait. The Be'er Basada says the exact same thing. He says it based on the word Hain El Kabir V'lo Yimas. Behold, God is extremely strong. He does not despise any tefillos. Had they davened, it would have worked. Sichos Musar, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the famed Mashkiach and Rosh Shiva of the Mir, answers this question by saying that the power of Akara Satov, recognizing the good that someone does for you, is so great. They said, do you know how much we owe Moshe Rabbeinu? Do you know how much we owe Moshe Rabbeinu for what he did for us? Throughout the Midbar and now giving us the Torah. We owe him so much for everything he's done for us. They felt they owed their entire existence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we'll be willing to do anything to keep Moshe Rabbeinu alive. In order to help Moshe Rabbeinu, we're willing to do anything over here. That was the power that Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha HaNavi used in order to do what they did to bring back Tchias HaMesim. Eliyahu HaNavi brought a kid back to life. Possibly Yonah. Elisha and Avi brought kids back to life. We don't know, Ovadia, whatever. But Ovadia was the oil. But he did things. Why? Because the power of Akaras HaTov. The power of Akaras HaTov, of what it was supposed to be. It's an amazing thing without that meetup. That was a different, Elisha. Yeah, but what? Wait, but that's not Akaras. That wasn't, wasn't the deal of Akaras HaTov. No. Hold on. It's meant because when you have that meetup of Akaras HaTov, says Rechaim Shmuel, you are able to do anything. You are able to do anything. You can even bring people back from the dead. You can even do Tchias HaMesim for such a person, if there's such a thing. So Bnei Yisrael honestly felt that they could delay Moshe Rabbeinu's death. If they had the power to be able to do Tchias HaMesim based on their Akaras HaTov, for sure they could delay his death. That was their thought process. They thought for sure it's there. An example of this is in Ksuvah Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Says Reb Chaim, this is an amazing application of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is dying. And all of the people in the Beis Medrash are davening for Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi to live. They don't say this about anybody else, that the whole Beis Medrash got together to keep him alive. And I think it's bedavka this way. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi gave them the Mishnayos. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi paid for everyone to learn. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had a great relationship with Antoninus, with the great emperor of Rome, to be able to keep the Jews learning and to keep the Jews around for so long. They owed Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi everything, literally everything they had, all of Klal Yisrael. So when he was dying, the Tachtonim, the people down here, were beating the Elyonim. They were beating the Malachim. The Malachim were saying it's time for him to die. And the Tachtonim were davening and keeping him around. All from that power of Akaras HaTov, how much they owed Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, they were able to keep it from happening. And if it happened by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Bnei Yisrael felt that it could happen by them as well. In the end, obviously we know the Shifcha de Bei Rebbe, she's the one who caused the eventual death. She said it's time, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is suffering too much, and she allowed it to happen. It somehow caused them to stop or whatever it was. But the concept, it's amazing. An amazing idea. And finally, Rav Avram Weinfeld, the author of Shalosh Tshuvos Lev Avram, says we can see the powers. I don't know if anybody knows if this is the one who had the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lev Avram. He's quoted, I think it's in the Talei Oros or one of those. I don't remember exactly which one it is. But if someone knows if this is Rav Avram Weinfeld of that yeshiva Lev Avram, he wrote the Shalosh Tshuvos Lev Avram. That's who it's quoted from. Says we can see the power of tefillah just from Moshe Rabbeinu itself. Ve'ata hanichali. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's telling Moshe, let go of me. Do you realize that? He's davening for Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ve'ata, and now, Hanicha li, Vachalo sam koraga. Let go of me so that I can destroy them. Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the nation because of the Egel Azov. And Moshe Rabbeinu stopped him from doing so. How did he stop him from doing so? By davening. By davening, using the Yud Gimel Midos Arachamim. So we see a raya, a pure raya, that you have the ability to stop someone from dying by davening. And that's a pure idea that can be used by Rechaim Knievsky, by the Chiddush Yarim, and by everyone else who brings up this idea. Tefillah had the power to be able to stop Moshe Rabbeinu from davening. So those are the three answers that I have for something there. But the strange thing is, did it work or not? Mati, I haven't forgotten your question, okay? I haven't forgotten your question. If they could have davened for it, right? And they were correct that it could work. Because clearly it could work. So why didn't they daven for it? Why didn't they daven? So Rabbeinu Bachaya says, they forgot. Can you imagine this? They forgot. They wanted to. They planned on it. It's just a lot of rain, don't worry. But they wanted to. They were planning on it. But somehow it just slipped their minds. Completely slipped their minds. They thought other people were going to do it instead of them. Every single person in Klal Yisrael forgot. And says the Me'ashiloch, Moshe even hinted it to them. He said, if you daven for me, I won't die. He told it to them. People, if you daven for me, all you have to do is daven for me, and I'm not going to die. And he's hinted to it over here with Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. If you daven for me, I will live. It's going to happen. But they still didn't do so. Why not? Sfas Emes says in Likutim in next week's Parsha. Sfas Emes says in Likutim over there, they thought that they were less than Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu can't daven, and he's not davening for himself to get himself out, then how could we? We don't have the power to do so. There's no way we're going to be able to do so. They were so wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do so because you can't get yourself out of a jail. If a person is in jail, he can't get himself out of jail. We learned that from David HaMelech and Sadi Hayomid Aleph and Sanhedrin. If a person is mamish in jail in the Beis HaAsurim, there's nothing you can do to get yourself out. And so too over here, says the Sfas Emes. They could have, and it would have worked, but they thought, if Moshe Rabbeinu is not doing it, we can't do it. And they were wrong. They could have done it, and they just didn't. And they just didn't. The Sifsei Tzadik quoted the Pardes Yosef in this week's Parsha. It says, all would have taken is one more tefillah. One more mincha. That's it. They would have davened one more mincha. If they would have done it, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been saved. They would have gone into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. We wouldn't have died. But they didn't do it. And obviously, that the lesson behind it, the line behind this, is such a simple idea. How could we not give that one last tefillah? Yes, it seems like it's an impossible situation. For whatever it is that's in our lives, it seems like it's impossible. It seems like we can't do anything about it. How in the world are we going to get out of it? And you're right, it seems impossible. But it's one more tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, this is what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. If they would have done one more, but they didn't. And Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. And it changed the history of Klal Yisrael forever because of that. And all it took was one more tefillah. He asked me, so why didn't they daven? What was wrong? They didn't. They didn't. And it's an unbelievable pella. Rav Moshe Feinstein asked a different question. Yeah.
Is it the same thing like in Beth Hanan if you...
100%. The 515 tefillos, that 515 tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Rav Loch, Al Tosef Daber Elayod Badaber Azeh, you can't daven another time. But that didn't mean that the Klal Yisrael couldn't. Klal Yisrael for sure could have. Why couldn't they? That was the problem. Rav Moshe Feinstein asked a totally different question. And it's a simple question. I don't understand. If this is Ratzon Hashem, I understand the Egyptians and the evil people by the Mabul, that they were saying, we're going to do what we want to do. But Klal Yisrael, shouldn't they have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you imagine this? If God wants to take you, we're not going to let it happen. If that's Ratzon Hashem, how could you say no? How are you going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want something different? How is that possible, says Rav Moshe. And he says, it's such a simple line. Sometimes you can go up against Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes, even if Ratzon Hashem seems to be in one way, you are allowed to fight. And in fact, I would tell you, it would be a mitzvah to fight. If it's the death of a gadol b'Yisrael, you are supposed to fight. You are required to fight. Even though it seems like it's going against Ratzon Hashem, it doesn't matter. And we learn that from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu davened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu and says, I am going to destroy Sodom. He doesn't tell Avraham Avinu, daven for Sodom. He says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And what does Avraham Avinu do? Avraham Avinu davens for Sodom immediately. What do you mean? Except the Ratzon Hashem. If that's the Ratzon Hashem. In fact, why do we even daven, guys? What, are we going to daven Marav afterward? Let's just stop and be like, whatever it's Ratzon Hashem, that's what's going to be, and we'll walk outside. And that's that. No, we daven. Because why? Because part of Ratzon Hashem is for us to daven for it not to happen just like that. I want to change myself. I want something to go different. That's the idea behind this. Pasuk is coming to tell you that such a thing is not wrong at all. Now again, this has to be taken with a little bit in context. I don't want to say that you could always daven for anything and allow it to happen, even if it's against Ratzon Hashem. Like, I don't know, like I want to be able to, I don't want to say anything terrible. Like a person wants to do an Avera and allows that Avera to happen because look, if it's, I'm going against Ratzon Hashem and I'm always allowed to daven against Ratzon Hashem. Obviously, there's limitations to what Ratzon Hashem is. But if it seems like a person is going to die, then you're still allowed, as long as the person is still alive, and maybe even within the realm of possibility in which we hold that it's not a miracle, you can daven for that person to live. You can daven that person is going to be around. It's what Ula Paskins in Bava Kama Lama Chasimet Aleph, and Rav Moshe ends off, he said, Tzorech Ian if we hold like Ula. Tzorech Ian if we hold like Ula. But it seems that this is the way we do things. It seems we always try to fight Ratzon Hashem, even though it's Ratzon Hashem, when it comes to davening for that. Yeah.
What is a miracle?
Then it's a kasha. To ask for a miracle is a little bit too hard. Yeah. I mean, if we question, if we have a, if Rav Moshe holds Tzorech Ian, if we paskin like Ula in a regular situation, then Kol Shekain by a miracle. Kol Shekain, it would be a problem by a miracle. So it's a Tzorech Ian on this. We seem to do it, but whether you should or not, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, that he davened so much that he could be allowed.
Yeah.
And Hashem told him, right? The Medrash says that Hashem told him to stop.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we were talking about before, right. Vaskhanen.
But my point is that, like, if we can't have Hashem fix things or change things or go into a level of nace, I guess, then what's the point? Meaning, like, how do we ever know if we're actually affecting anything or not? People daven for pulling all the time, and they daven.
Yeah, but I can't answer that question, especially not that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I can't answer that question. Now you're dealing with like realms of going to Gedolim and asking them what should I daven for, what I shouldn't daven for. I'm not getting into details. You know, every person's details are different when it comes to that. So I don't think that's a personalized question and a more generic answer. I don't think that. No, you can't. No, but we're dealing. He says Gedolim, and it makes sense it would be by a relative as well, somebody who's really dying, but I don't know. Every situation is different. What about Rabbi Yudan Asi and the Shifcha? What about Rabbi Yudan Asi and the Shifcha Devei Rabbi? I don't know. Each one is different. I don't know. All right, but remember I said that three? Remember I counted it all for you, and I said the Mabel, and then Mitzrayim, and then right over here by Moshe Rabbeinu? I lied. Or Rashi lied, I should say, right? It seems like Rashi... I shouldn't say Rashi lied. I shouldn't say that, right? But it seems like Rashi made a mistake. Seems like it. The Etzem Yom Hazeh is used a fourth time by Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu was told to do the bris, Rashi says by Avram, it says Be'etzem Yom Hazeh, that Avram Avinu did the bris, Be'etzem Yom Hazeh. And Rashi right there says, because the nations were saying, if we see him try to do a bris, we're going to stop him. And Avraham Avinu therefore did the bris in the middle of the day to show everyone, you can't stop me. You can't stop me no matter what. So what about that fourth one? Rashi mentioned it himself. How in the world did that not get mentioned in this Rashi and Azinu? It's a fourth time. Where is it? Okay, so there are a bunch of answers to this question. Sifsa Kamim says that this one's not included because over there, it could be that the word biyom is trying to tell you that the chiv is during the day and not at night. Maybe to tell you, Be'yom HaZeh is not for the Be'etzem part, it's for the Be'yom HaZeh, that Bris Mila is done during the day, not at night itself. Technically, that's brought up by a bunch of different achronim, but this idea is right there. It's also, could be very obvious, the answer. I saw this in the Nachlas Yaakov and Seder L'Derech in the Tosefes Bracha, but I came up with it on my own 8 years ago, before I saw these Sfarim. So I'm going to count this as my own, and also it's brought down in these three Sfarim, in the Seder L'Derech, the Nachlas Yaakov and the Tosefes Bracha. All three of these cases are Kaddish Baruch Hu doing it. Kaddish Baruch Hu stopping, telling Klal Yisrael you're not going to be able to do it. Kaddish Baruch Hu telling the Mitzrayim, Kaddish Baruch Hu telling the people by the Mabul. Over here, it's Avram Avinu doing it. Avram gives himself the Bris Mila right in the middle of the day to knock out his enemies. So that's different. It's not like these three Be'etzem Yom HaZeh. That's an easy answer as well. The Shari Aron also said the night one. The Be'er Basadis said there's an inherent difference, and it's very obvious. By those three, they were done publicly. When Noach went on the Teva, it was in public, in the middle of the day, right? Everybody agrees. Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, that's in public, in the middle of the day. Moshe Rabbeinu dying, in public, in the middle of the day. Where do you think Avraham Avinu gave himself a bris mila? Think he did it in the marketplace? Think he did it in public? No, he didn't give himself a bris mila in the middle of a marketplace. He did it in his house, in a tent. How are they going to say? They wouldn't even know. Like, what are they going to say? If we feel that Avraham Avinu is going to give himself a bris mila, guys, if Avraham Avinu wants to give himself a bris mila, no one is going to know about it. So the fact that he did it, but Etzem Yom HaZeh makes no sense that he did it right in the middle of the day, says the Be'er Basadis. Because even if he did it in the middle of the day, he did it in his house. So it wasn't as public as the other three. It's like such an obvious answer. So what does Be'etzem Yom HaZeh mean? What does it mean it was right in the middle of the day itself? It means he did it in the most public way possible, but still in a way that not everybody knew about it. So it wasn't like the other three. Yeah, Paul.
What about the Kedis Yitzchak? It was also in the middle of the day.
But it doesn't say Be'etzem Yom HaZeh. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't say the words Be'etzem Yom HaZeh. There are four times where it says the word Be'etzem Yom HaZeh. That's the fourth one right over there. The truth is, though, the Maskil of David says, an unbelievable answer that I think takes it all down. There is a fifth time where it says Be'etzem Yom HaZeh, but it's not in a story. Be'etzem Yom HaZeh is used about Yom Kippur. Be'etzem Yom HaZeh is actually used twice by Yom Kippur to tell you that you have to fast Be'etzem Yom HaZeh. You're supposed to be Nisam Esnaf Shoseichem, you're supposed to fast Be'etzem Yom HaZeh, right? He says Maskil David, there's a difference. The Rashi in Hazinu is a quote from the Sifri. Does everyone know what the Sifri is? The Sifri is a medrash written on Bamidbar and Devarim. Sifra and Sifri. Sifri is that medrash. There's another medrash that he quotes in Parshas Lech Lecha about the Bris Mila. That Parsha in Lech Lecha by the Bris Mila, that one over there is from the Bereishis Rabbah. He says there's a machlokas, Bereishis Rabbah and Sifri. The Sifri holds that the Bris Mila of Avraham Avinu happened on Yom Kippur. How do we know what happened on Yom Kippur? Because it says Be'etzem Yom HaZeh by Yom Kippur. It says Be'etzem Yom HaZeh by Avram Avinu. And that couldn't exist by the other three. Because tell me, when did Noach go on the Teva? We all know. It's not on Yom Kippur. It was on Yud Zayin Cheshvan. When did Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim? It wasn't on Yom Kippur. It was the 15th of Nisan. When did Moshe Rabbeinu die? It wasn't the Yom Kippur. He died on Zayin Adar. So the other Be'etzem Yom HaZeh couldn't have been on Yom Kippur. But this Be'etzem Yom HaZeh by Avraham Avinu could have been on Yom Kippur. So it's on Yom Kippur. So you have a Gzeirah Shavah. You can't use this Be'etzem Yom HaZeh for anything else. Says the Maskil of David, our Sifri holds it happened on Yom Kippur. It has the Gzeirah Shavah. So there are only three times where Be'etzem Yom HaZeh is used, not talking about Yom Kippur. Because those two are talking about Yom Kippur. The Midrash Rabbah holds that Avraham Avinu didn't give himself a bris mila on Yom Kippur. When did he give himself a bris mila, guys? When's the only other opinion? The other opinion is he gave himself a bris mila on Pesach. Give it on Pesach. It wasn't on Yom Kippur, it was on Pesach. Which means that there's no Gzeir Shavah. So the Bereishis Rabbah says the same drusha that you have in Azinu applies over there when it comes to Avraham Avinu's bris mila. It's the same exact drusha. And therefore, really, if the Sifri is writing it, it's three times. If Bereishis Rabbah is writing it, it's four times. That's how he answers the question. He says he's quoting different places. We think of Rashi as static. It's just Rashi, right? It's just Rashi. But remember, look where Rashi's getting his quotes from. If Rashi's quoting one Rashi from the Bereishis Rabbah, that's what he's saying over there. If he quotes another one from the Sifri, that's what he says over there. This gets into a much larger discussion, how to understand Rashi in a Gemara. When Tosus asks on a Rashi, and Rashi in one place says one thing, and in another place says another thing, there is tremendous pilpul to be made out of why Rashi says one thing in one place and one thing in another place. But the simplest explanation, not getting into the pilpul, which is unbelievably important, is needed for any good Ian Shear to understand why Rashi might say something here and say something there. But the simplest explanation is because Rashi explains every pasuk kipshuto without worrying about anything else. Tosfos is global, while Rashi is local. And therefore, in Lech Lecha, he felt the Bereishis Rabbah explains the pasuk better than saying like the Sifri that happened in Yom Kippur. And in Azinu, he felt that the way the Sifri worded it is better than the way that the Bereishis Rabbah worded it. So he chose each one locally, even though those two Midrashim argue on each other. But that's an idea. It's an idea to be able to look at something simply, and it gets into a much bigger machlokas of how to understand a machlokas Rashi Tosfos, at least the way that I understand it over here. I'm going to end with one thing over here. I really didn't even get into the machlokas. I said this before, like on the side, that one of the reasons why we say tzidkoscha on Shabbos by Mincha is because Moshe Rabbeinu died by Shabbos by Mincha, especially according to the Tzura Amor, the amount of stuff that he had to do on Zayin Adar, everything that he had to do, including climbing the mountain, it makes no sense that he died in the middle of the day. Died right in the middle of the day. But we've been saying he died in the middle of the day. That's what happened. No one to argue. I just wish I would have seen this somewhere. I always... Oh, for sure not. He never slept. He never slept. Never slept. I don't have any problem with that. I'm sorry? Yeah, I always thought, my thought process was, as soon as he left the people and climbed the mountain, that was midday. He left the people at midday, which is the Rashi, right? I'm going to take Moshe Rabbeinu away from you by midday. So he did, and he climbed the mountain for the next 4 or 5 hours, dying in the afternoon, right? That's how he always understood it. That's why we say tzidkoscha, because even though he left the people midday, b'chatzi ayom, the way the Rashi says it, at least the way that the Pasha Pshat is, chatzos ayom, but he actually died in the afternoon, and that's why we say tzidkoscha in the afternoon. I never saw it anywhere. I was looking for it. I know there's a rush somewhere in Pesachim that says it in the 10th parak, and I just couldn't find it when I was looking. I found the rush. I just couldn't find these words. I just thought that somebody said it somewhere, but if anybody knows where it is, I'd like to see it inside. The b'chatzi ayom is when he left them, right? But really, by the time he died, it was the afternoon, and that's why we say tzidkoscha. I don't think there's a steer here, but I'm going to end with this, miyamalois from the panim yafos. Why do you have to die in the middle of the day? This is an amazing one. We don't believe in ein mazal liyisrael, is what the Gemara in Shabbos says, but there are times where mazalos do have effects on us, and we spoke this out in a shir not too long ago. There's something called shetzem chanchal. It's mentioned by the Gemara in Shabbos. I believe it's on Kufnun Beis and Kuf Chav Tes as well. I'm not sure exactly where because I didn't look it up before. And it's Kufnun Beis, Kufnun Gimel, and Kuf Chav Tes, somewhere around there. Shetzem Chanchal are Shabsai, which is Saturn, right? Tzadi is Tzedek, Jupiter. Ches is Chama, the sun. Mem is Madim, Mars. Chanchal is Ches is Chama, the sun. Nun is Noga, Venus, right? Kaf is Kochav, that's Mercury, and Lamed is Levana, the moon. The five planets and the sun and the moon that you can see with the naked eye in the sky itself, right? Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. You can't see the other three, right? The other three planets, and you can't see any other real things. The stars, you can't really see them as much. But the sun and the moon, obviously those seven, each one rules at a certain part of the day. And obviously we've talked about this before. Every day of the week is named for one of them because one thing rules on each day. For example, Shapsoy is Saturn, right? That's why we call it Saturday because Saturn is the one that rules over Saturday. That's the one that starts off the day of Saturday itself. Monday, Sunday is obviously the day of the sun. That's the sun, and the moon is Monday. Thursday is Thursday. Thor is supposed to represent Jupiter, and that's why Jupiter is supposed to rule on that day. And each one has its own day. There are hours, though. Even though it starts off with that, they go by hours. So in other words, like 9 a.m., 6 a.m., let's say, is when the day starts. So 6 a.m. is Chama. 7 a.m. is Noga, the Venus, right? 8 a.m. is, and it goes on, Chanchal, and then it goes Shetzem, etc., all the way through. It says the following, says Miyamloez. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. The beginning of the day of Shabbos is ruled by Mazel Shabsoy. 6 a.m. on Shabbos morning, whatever is Vasikin. 6 a.m. is ruled by Mazel Shabsoy. And then it goes Shetzem Chanchal, right? Yoshua was known as the moon. So it's Shabbos, so Shabsoy ruled in the beginning. And the Levana was the time for Yoshua to rule. Yoshua started ruling right after midday. So what time is that? It's the 12 to 1 spot, right? 6 a.m. is Shabsoy. 7 a.m. is Tzedek. 8 a.m. is Madim. And you can keep going. The Levana, Yoshua's Levana, was at 12 to 1 o'clock. It was at that time. So in that hour, it was Yoshua's time to literally to shine and to be in charge. That's why he had to die in the middle of the day. At that moment, Yoshua had to take over. Moshe Rabbeinu had to be gone. There's a lot more to it than what I just said from the Amaleis, from the Panim Yafos, but that's the beginning. We'll stop with that. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.